his saints have proved his faithfulness. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be reading just the first 7 verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Please follow along in your Bible and keep your Bible open on your laps, please. I'll be referring to some other texts there as well. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Forever who would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is one of the standout, famous chapters in all of the Bible. It ranks up there in the knowledge of the church, and even beyond the church, it's ranks up there with Psalm 23, the great shepherd chapter, or the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Here, this is a stellar and a very famous chapter. The subject, faith. It has 2 of the memory verses that I memorized 100 years ago. When I was a little one, from the Ministry of the Navigators. Do you remember the topical memory system? Maybe some of you are old enough to remember that. 2 verses here. The definition of faith, we said. The conviction of things not seen, the evidence, what is hoped for. Or verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Unfortunately, there are some misconceptions about Hebrews 11. You might know it, because it is so famous, as the chapter of the Hall of fame, right? That's how I cut my spiritual IT on this chapter. This is the Hall of Fame. One person after another is listed here, and the great things that they had done because of their faith. The misconception, I believe, in Hebrews 11, in the entire chapter, is that it gives the impression that somehow these guys operated on a higher level of faith. And we poor schlucks can only hope to attain a small measure of this kind of faith. And I believe that if I preached it that way, it would be a disservice to you. And you would leave here with the burden of believing that somehow you need to redouble your efforts to have more and better faith. And that would be entirely wrong, I believe. And the reason I believe that is because of the last chapter, or the last verse of chapter 10. Look what it says. This is chapter 10, verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are of those who have faith and preserve their souls. I believe that what Hebrews 11 is a description of our faith. Now, admittedly, this is a description of true faith, as the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us the definition of that, the knowledge and conviction that everything in the Bible is true, and the deep-rooted assurance placed in my heart by the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the gospel, that not only others, but I too have been granted eternal life. That's a rough quote of Lord's Day 7, 21. This is your faith. I think that's a shocker. Because the apostle here, or whoever wrote the writer of the book of Hebrews, is maintaining all along up to Hebrews 11 that faith in Jesus is better. He's better than the old system under the old covenant because he's the fulfillment of it. If we would understand this out of context, then the conclusion would be faith, this kind of superhero faith, gave Abel the ability to be the first martyr, so your faith should be great enough to die for Christ. And Enoch's faith was so great that he pleased God and he didn't have to die. I don't know how you could possibly make an application from that. If this was the heroes of the faith, I would be scared to think that it's possible somebody has made this application that if you really did well, then you too could just beam me up, Scotty, and you wouldn't have to suffer or die. That this is some sort of level of faith that you have to attain. That Noah's faith didn't buckle under pressure while the whole world was mocking him. So don't you be doubting what you believe. I believe that interpretation would be entirely wrong. I believe what we are learning here is that those of us who have faith in Christ have a persevering faith, and there's one witness after another coming forth saying, this is the faith that you have. It is this faith and this faith alone that can convince us to persevere, to hang in there, in doing and suffering the will of God until finally we will reach our goal. This is a persevering faith. God commends the faith in us that he has gifted us with. These are commended, not because there was anything in them at all. Abel, Noah, Enoch, they were made out of the same stuff that you and I are made of. And that is why Hebrews 11 gives us the confidence that he spoke of in chapter 10, and I believe it is verse 10. No, it is not. Ah, it is verse 19. Therefore, brothers, Since we have confidence to enter in the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way He opened up for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. That's His argument, I believe. I believe that's what He's trying to tell us. That by that faith that is a gift of God, Ephesians 2 says clearly, the same faith here in these things, we have the confidence before God. We are not those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are those who have that confidence. And we have that confidence because faith is assurance. There is something real. There is something that is a substance to faith. A lot of people don't believe that. They think what you see is real, and faith is kind of a blind leap. Hebrews 11:1 is saying the exact opposite thing. Faith is a substance. Faith gives life to things hoped for. We were in Dallas recently visiting our kids, and well, the truth is we were visiting our grandkids. The kids were kind of an addendum to the whole affair. And on the trip down there, I got a telephone call that our dear friends, and we have talked about Jim and Marie as being our spiritual parents. They led us. They encouraged us. They were there. And while I was at DIA, I got the telephone call on the way to Dallas that Jim had died. And they wanted me to do the funeral. And so I was hopping between two forks. I didn't know if I could do Jim's funeral and do it adequately. And plus, I didn't have any of my funeral notes with me, so I was going to have to do this by memory. And at my age, this is getting a little more tricky. I agreed that I would do it. And you're staring, of course, at a body. And then you're staring into the grave. And everything about that whole business defies what the Bible says. It's just standing there screaming at you that this is the end. Faith looks into that hole and says He'll rise again. We will see Him again. That is why the Bible says we as believers grieve in hope. It doesn't take away the pain of losing a dear brother in the Lord. But it does give us hope in the midst of our grieving that we shall rise again. Now, that's what the Scriptures say, but that's not what the grave says. Hebrews 11 is going through line after line after line of those people who had faith, like our faith, and determined that they were going to believe God rather than themselves, their own impressions, their own opinions, or anybody else's voice. They gave substance by their very lives to the things they believed. It is also not only an assurance, but it is a conviction. It is an evidence. It demonstrates what is not seen. So here's a person with faith, believing God, not what they see,
And their lives demonstrate that very thing they believe. So faith is an evidence. Faith in unseen things produces actions that are evident. And there is a basis for those actions. It's not a blind leap. I'm not asking you today to take a blind leap in what God says. I am asking you today to believe what God says because His promises are sure. He speaks the truth. He does not deceive us. That's somebody else who deceives us by whispering little things in our ear. And the breath is sulfur smelling, if you get my drift. This is the evil one who deceives us. So the apostle says, look, I'm going to bring up an example of this faith that you have. Creation. Now there's one for the book, isn't it? He brings up creation. Now to the unbeliever, of course, there's no God involved in creation. Perhaps some will admit in the intelligent design movement, I don't know if you've read about this, that there is some unnamed supreme being behind the creation. But the apostle says, we were not there. We didn't see it. Now there are some, my children included, who believe that I am reached the age where perhaps I did see the creation, but there's nobody that was there, right? We understand and believe about the creation from the revelation of God. It's not rocket science. God did it. It is amazing, miraculous, and fantastic to think God spoke something, and it was. But we believe the revelation. We believe the word of God that says God created everything that we see ex nihilo, out of nothing. God said it, and it was. God says it, and it is. These witnesses now that are coming forward are saying yes and amen to that. And he starts down through redemptive history and he brings forth, of course, Abel. Abel, who was accepted. And we learn from this witness that the only way that we are accepted by God is through this faith that is ours. Abel knew himself to be a sinner. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, he brought a sacrifice. You bring sacrifices when you know yourself to be a sinner. At least the sacrifices before a holy God that were accepted. Why would God accept Abel's sacrifice? Because Abel was a shining example of a hero of the faith? Had a little halo above his head? Kind of had an aura about him? No. No, because Abel was a schmuck just like you and me. And he believed God. And he didn't want to put God to the test, as Cain did. And either didn't see the need for sacrificing for his sins, or thought that he could foist upon God his own version of religion, and not acknowledge this God from whom all blessings flow. That's the difference. The Bible says in 1 John 3:2 that Cain was of the evil one, and his deeds were evil. Abel was commended as righteous. And we learn from this a fundamental thing about this faith. that through faith in what God says, we are made right and accepted by God. This is a thought that I have been working on for most of my Christian life. Because I was not raised with the idea that I was accepted by God through my faith. I was raised that I was accepted by God by climbing on an imaginary treadmill and redoubling my efforts to attain the righteousness that God demands. No. Hebrews 11 says he was accepted, he was commended because of his faith, not because of his works. Or Enoch. Oh, now there's one for the books. If you really want to get up a good guilt complex, all you have to do is read that account. Like, okay, you see, Enoch was so good. And he reached a level, a higher level of Christianity, so high, it's possible. Get on the treadmill, begin running. You know what a treadmill is, right? That's a contraption that makes you go really fast. Nowhere. Yes. And if you read Hebrews 11 as heroes of the faith, that you have to attain this, you're climbing on this spiritual treadmill and you will redouble your efforts to go nowhere really fast. And I know too many of my friends who were taught the same thing, to climb on that red treadmill to be good enough for God, one of which told me several years later, it's an experiment that didn't work. Christianity does not work for me. And I did not have the theological acumen at the time to say, you don't have Christianity. Let's go to Hebrews 11. And let's talk about faith, not in what your hands can do, but in what God has done for us in Christ. And so he says, Enoch, a singularly pious man, one commentator said, realizing the presence of God, making it a habit to think and feel and speak and act as if he were under the eye of God. Let me read that again. That's really good stuff. It's not me. That's a great commentator on Hebrews. A singularly pious man who, realizing the presence of God, made it a habit to think and feel and speak and act as under the eye of God. That's what true faith does. That's what coram Deo means, by the way, before the face of God. That we have a faith that is not just compartmentalized on Sunday morning, but it affects the way that we do business or plant our gardens or harvest our crops or work at our computers. It's everything that we do. It's how we raise our kids. It's how we're husbands and how we're wives. And I'm getting convicted. But you see, the point here is that we have a faith by God, a faith in God alone that is not alone. The point of Enoch in walking with God is that true faith walks with God. Now, we can sit down and have a lovely discussion about how we're walking with God. And we will have the holiest among us. I don't know who that is here. I do know one person that it's not. Okay, we can take the holiest among us here, and we can take the least holiest among us, and we can have a lovely discussion about what it means to walk with God and everything in between. But the point of Enoch is that we do not have a faith that says okay, I've walked down the aisle, I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, and I'm done. I'm finished. That's the point of Enoch. He had a humble confession too that he was a sinner. He had to please God, because everybody since the fall is a sinner. Right? So Enoch was not accepted because of Enoch's great performance. Enoch was accepted because of his faith in God. Not because of his own righteousness. Because you see, right after Enoch is verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's a scathing comment on Enoch. It's a scathing comment on you and me. We can't please God. Can't do it. No matter how hard you try. You and I cannot please God without faith. It's not what we have done. It is what God has done for us in Christ. He has rewarded us who seek Him. And He has rewarded us with acceptance before His throne. Man, I'm telling you, forgive me for a paid political announcement for the Reformed faith. Okay? I apologize in advance. It's the Reformers who have this. It's a reform. This is a pearl of great price here. I did not know this growing up. Nobody told me. It was kind of like slug it out and hope you can hang on until the end and you don't mess it up too bad. Those who trust in God by true faith find Him to be merciful and forgive and save all who seek Him. Even the most guilty are justified by that faith. Maybe you think you're not the holiest among us. Maybe you think that you're the guiltiest. And this is why I brought up Marcus. Because Marcus walked in among all of us fine looking people in our suits and our nice dresses. And he said, I am the worst sinner among you. And I said, Marcus, I'm the pastor of the church. And I pretty much know everybody. And I know all of their dirt. And I can't tell you any of the details, but I can tell you that you're not the worst sinner in the church. I'm just saying. I know enough to know that you're not the worst sinner. Because, Marcus, you're looking at them. That's really true. That's really got to be true of us. If we believe this, that we're guilty before God. And that's why he brings up Noah. In Noah's time, God saw the earth and it was corrupt, and all of the flesh had corrupted their way on earth. This is Genesis chapter 6. In reverential fear, Noah knew himself to be one of those. And yet, Genesis 6:8 says, Noah found favor in God's eyes. Because Noah was such a shining example of godliness and holiness and the human ability to please God. No! The point of Hebrews, it was Noah believed God. And Noah believed God because God gave him the gift to believe Him. And if you believe God this morning, if you are a Christian, you have been gifted with that same faith that finds favor in God's eyes. Imagine that. He became heir to the righteousness that comes by faith. And the whole world was mocking him. I mean, literally, the whole entire world. We say things like that, like, oh, well, the whole world is against us Christians. And yes, that's true, but here, I mean, it was everyone was saying, Noah, you are insane to be building that crazy ark. Just like they will say of you and me, you are insane to believe this, that you believe this morning. But you stand in the line, beloved. Let's not call it the heroes of the Hall of Fame. Let's call it the Hall of Faith. And at the end of this service, we're going to sing By the Sea of Crystal, because it imagines all of us, Abel, Noah, Enoch, whoever wrote Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, Lord willing, in His grace and His mercy, Marcus. We're all going to be standing there at the end, praising God, because He saved our wretched souls by His grace and His mercy. Since we have been justified by that same faith, we have, not something to attain, we have peace with God. You're accepted. God's favor rests upon you. And you, if you have this faith, this true faith, are to be commended right along with the rest of these saints, not because of you, but because of a great God who has, out of His mercy and His grace, blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you. Help us. Help us. We believe. Help thou our unbelief. So many times, Father, we have disappointed you. We have succumbed to our own ways and our own wills. Father, help us. Be our God. Be our refuge. Send us on the way today with the joy of knowing that this faith is a persevering faith. And that we one day will see these saints who, along with us, will praise the Lamb forever for what He has done for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. My faith looks up to thee. It is number 446 in your hymnal. 446, the four stanzas. Let's rise to sing.